Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Let's go to the Lord.
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you, Father, for this opportunity, Lord, to come before your throne this morning, God. Lord, just ask you, Lord, to be with each and every need, Father, that's been offered up right now, God. I know there's people that's hurt, Lord, people's got people hurting. I just ask you to be with my family, Lord, as we struggle with things that's going on in it. Lord, we know you're the God of all comfort, Lord, and we thank you for having a mediator through Jesus Christ for our prayer and supplication, Father. Lord, we know that you always hear us, Lord, when we pray, Father, and we thank you for that. I just ask you to be with us this morning, God, as we get into your word, Lord, we might gain a greater knowledge of what you are and who you are. What you can do for us, Lord, because I know you can do everything because you've done it in our lives. Well, so we asked you this morning, Lord, to be with Brother Cal as he breaks forth the word. That you touch him in a mighty way, Lord, that you might bring forth your word through him, through the Holy Spirit. And God, we just ask you to be with Brother Billy this morning as he comes forth. Lord, as he teaches this word, your word, Father, that we might gain a greater knowledge, or might be able to proclaim your gospel throughout the world. For these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, David. If you have a Bible this morning, in whatever shape, form, or fashion it looks like, be finding Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6. I had the privilege of preaching at Adult Teen Challenge Monday, and this is the passage I preached to those fellows. And you know what? God just wouldn't let me get away from it this week. And so I want to just do the very best that I can for God's glory this morning and just unpack. We're going to do our best to read the entire chapter as we kind of move through there. And when I say the name Daniel, what do you think of? Yeah. You know, we need some Daniels today, amen? Some men and women who will stand for truth even when the rest of the world is saying no. We need some men and women whose word is their bond. You can count on them. We need some men and women who will stand up and say yes with emphasis even when the rest of the world is saying no. We need some men and women who will not go along to get along. We need some men and women today who will be like Daniel and not compromise their conviction and lose their character. And with that in mind, I want to just start off. We'll read the first four verses together, and then we'll move on from there. Let's honor God's word if we can by standing this morning. Daniel chapter 6. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps, say politicians with me, politicians, to be over the whole kingdom. And over these, three governors, of whom Daniel was one, that the satraps might give account to them so that the king would suffer no loss. Then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and satraps because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. So the governors and satraps sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But they could find no charge or fault because he was faithful. Nor was there any error or fault found in him. Heavenly Father, bless and honor your word today. May the Spirit of God have freedom up in this place. Teach us, Lord. Lead us. Give us the courage to say yes to Jesus. In his name we pray, amen. Please be seated. You know, when I think about Daniel, I think about his three buddies, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I think about fiery furnaces and lions' dens. And, you know, when you read about Daniel and his three buddies, I mean, they're either jumping from the frying pan or into the lion's den. People trying to either heat them up or eat them up. But, you know, I had somebody the other night, Monday night, ask me afterwards, why aren't there any fiery furnaces and lion's dens today? Well, I think there are, but it's because of what you got to do to get in one of them. In other words, to get thrown into a fiery furnace, you got to be willing to stand up when everybody else is bowing down. To get thrown into a lion's den, you got to bow down when everybody else is standing up. Well, Daniel was a man of conviction and a man of character. And he was not going to compromise his convictions and lose his character. He didn't go along to get along. Daniel lived in a world that said, hey, you got to go. And we live in a world like that, don't we? Well, I've come here today to tell you, we're going to learn this morning how to sleep with the lions without being eaten. Well, five of you are ready for that. We're going to learn how to sleep with the lions today without being eaten. Are you ready? Okay, I don't know if you're taking notes or if you've got that at all, but the first thing we see in this passage of Scripture is the character that Daniel displayed. He had a fiery furnace faith and a lion's lair love for the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's what we need today. Amen? And so there's the character he displayed. Now, let me just kind of set the table real quick. Daniel was a foreigner. He was from Palestine. He'd been brought over as a captive. And you know, my dad used to say the cream always rises to the top. Well, although Daniel was a Hebrew amongst Gentiles, the king had noticed, King Darius of Persia had noticed there's something different about Daniel. And he was one of the three governors over 120, is honest. And so he had these three governors to keep the kingdom from being ripped off. But what he decided to do, Daniel was so special. There was something so different about Daniel. He was about to promote Daniel even over the other two governors and all these other 120 politicians. He was about to become the prime minister of Persia. And what happens oftentimes when somebody at the job gets a promotion? William Shakespeare once said that jealousy is more dangerous than a mad dog's tooth. And when Daniel was about to be promoted, he soon found himself surrounded by a bunch of mad dogs. And so they figured, his enemies, these 120 and the other two governors, figured, you know what? Everybody's got their price. And we'll just start digging and we'll dig up some dirt on old Daniel and we'll be done with Daniel. Well, they began to dig. And they dug and they dug and they dug and they dug. I mean, they examined him up close through a microscope. They looked at him from afar through the telescope. They put the FBI, the CIA, the IRS. They put Facebook, Twitter, TikTok. They put all social media on. And it was all said and done. Daniel came up smelling like a rose. Are y'all with me today? I'll give you three things about his character. He was fervent in his attitude. Daniel was fervent in his attitude. It says there in verse 3 that he had an excellent spirit in him. And I want to tell you, if you're a believer this morning, if you're a member of this church, you're a second mile saint, we ought to have an excellent spirit about us. There ought to be something different about us. My dad was right, the cream should rise to the top. There was an excellent spirit. In other words, Daniel was a man, well, how can I say this nicely? He practiced what he preached. He was on the inside what he claimed to be on the outside. Oh, for some men and women like that today. Amen? And so he was fervent in his attitude, but verse 4 tells us that he was also faultless in his, excuse me, he was also faithful in his assignment. Look at verse 4. I love this. The governors and satraps sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find no charge or fault. Because he was faithful, nor was there any error or fault found in him. You know who the best employee on King Darius' staff was? Daniel. He was faithful in his assignment. He did a job when it ought to be done, the way it ought to be done, how it ought to be done, when it ought to be done. He gave the king a full day's work for a full day's pay. And do you know who the best employee ought to be at your place of work? It ought to be you. They ought to be calling here. You got any more of them second mile saints? I need about 100 more of them. You know? And so Daniel was faithful in his assignment. He was fervent in his attitude, but he was faultless in his action. Now look at verse 4. It says, because he was faithful, nor was there any error or fault found. I think your King James says he was blameless. Daniel wasn't perfect. But I want to tell you, Daniel's heart was coated with integrity. His lips flowed with honesty. His life was marked by fidelity. He was a man of stability in a shady world. In a shaky world, he was a man of purity in a soul world. I mean, Daniel was a man that was full of character, and it was on display for everybody to see. And oh, for some men and women like that today. He was willing, not willing, to compromise his convictions and therefore lose his character. Oh, for some Daniels today. Who had that mindset. He had an excellent spirit. He was fervent in his attitude. He was faithful in the assignment that he'd been given. And I don't know what assignment you've been given where you're working. Maybe you're retired. Guess what? If you're retired, you can go to work for Jesus full time. Hallelujah. And he was faultless in his actions. He practiced what he preached. He wasn't perfect, but his heart was right before God. So, secondly, there's not only the character that Daniel displayed, I want you to see the command that he defied. Verse 5. Now watch this. They tried to dig up some dirt on Daniel and they couldn't. I mean, there was no mistress on the side. There was no secret bank accounts. There were no crooked tax returns. There was no Watergate, no Benghazi in the life of Daniel. They couldn't find any dirt on him. So plan A hadn't worked and now they go to plan B. Here it is, verse 5. Then these men said, we shall not find any charge against this Daniel unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God. You see, if you can't condemn a man because of his godliness, you use his godliness and his morality against him. Y'all following? Y'all tracking with me? Okay. Verse 6. So these governors and satraps thronged before the king and said thus to him, King Darius, live forever. All the governors of the kingdom, the administrators, the satraps, the councils, the advisors have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whoever petitions any god or man for 30 days except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which does not alter. Therefore, King Darius signed the written decree. Well, these enemies of Daniel decided to use his godliness and his morality against him. That was plan B. And so what they do, they go to King Darius, and I mean, y'all do know that flattery is kind of like perfume. It's okay to wear it, but don't drink it. Flattery is kind of like perfume. It's okay to wear it, but don't drink it. Are y'all with me? Sometimes I say these stupid things just to make sure we're communicating. All right? So they use devious flattery. And did you catch that? He said, O king, we talked to everybody in the kingdom. We talked to everybody. We talked to the administrator. We talked to the politicians, all the counselors, all the and consulted them together. And king, we're all in agreement. Well, there's one person they didn't talk to. They didn't talk to Daniel. Because Daniel would have said, hey, I love the king, I honor the king, I'm loyal to the king, but I worship the King of Kings. They hadn't talked to Daniel. And then there's a, how do I say this? Well, let me just kind of share my age with you. They used to have a show when I was a kid on television called Queen for a Day. Yeah, any of y'all remember that? They would bring these women and sit them out there, you know, in four or five seats, and they start asking these ladies questions. And if you answered the question correctly, you got a certain number of points. And so at the end of the program, the lady who'd answered the most questions and scored the most points got to be queen for a day. And they would let her go on a shopping spree. And they'd bring her out, and she'd be in tears, and she'd be walking out on this little platform, you know, and had a tiara on, and they'd give her a scepter. And so she was crowned queen for a day. Well, that's what the enemies do here. King Darius, they come to him and say, King, have we got a deal for you? We're going to make you the god of the month. And anyone and everyone in the kingdom, King Darius, is going to bow down to you, worship you, pray to you, da-da-da-da-da-da. How does that sound? And immediately, ooh, that sounds pretty good. I've never been the God of the Month before. I think I'll sign up for that. And they used a dangerous fact as well. Now, when Babylon was in control, the king was law. Okay? In other words, whatever the king wanted to do, that was law. He could change his mind, that was okay. He could sign in a different law, that was okay. But now that Persia was in control, the law was king. And whenever Congress had passed it, and the king had signed it, and the Supreme Court had upheld it, it was law. You couldn't change it. It couldn't be altered. And bless God. The king jumped in it, signed it, and now it's law. And so Daniel's enemies and his detractors began to party because they knew that his doom was a done deal. They had him now, see? And as I was preparing this message, I got to thinking about what if our government decided to pass a law that said no one can come to a house of worship for 30 days or they'll be executed. I know one thing for sure. You'd separate the sheep from the goats real quick, right? That may not happen, but I want to tell you, we are approaching some different days, and we're in some different days. And so there's the command. Now, bless God. I believe verse 10 is Daniel's finest hour. I want you to see the conviction that he disclosed. Look at verse 10. Watch this. Don't miss this. Grab a hold of this. Behold, look at here, whatever I got to say. Look at verse 10. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home. And in his upper room, with his windows open toward Jerusalem, what did he do? He knelt down on his knees three times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. Daniel knew he was signing his own death warrant. But as was his... You see, and Daniel's prayer wasn't rooted in panic. It was rooted in a pattern. Three times a day, he would go into his prayer closet, morning, noon, and night, and he would open the windows of his prayer closet toward Jerusalem, and he would begin to pray out loud to the one true living God. Well, guess where all of his detractors and enemies were? They're right up underneath the window sill. And they're probably, now I know they didn't have, you know, phones and all that stuff back in the day, but they're tape recording everything. And yet Daniel knows what he's doing. He's going to pay dearly with his life. He knows that he's going to be hauled off to the lion's den. And yet, as was his habit, I like that, as was his custom, he went at 9 a.m., noon, and 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and he prayed. You know, I wondered, you know, couldn't Daniel have prayed secretly? Yeah. Couldn't Daniel have prayed silently? Yeah. But not Daniel. Because you see, he believed in God, therefore he believed in prayer. And there wasn't any law. And by the way, let me say this. This is not a political statement. This has nothing to do with politics. But there is a limit to the authority of government, and there's no limit to the authority of God. You can pass a law. You can pass a law, and I don't care if it's legal. Doesn't always mean it's moral. You can legalize abortion. God says it's murder. You can legalize prostitution. God says it's adultery. You can legalize sodomy. God says it's an abomination. There is no, and let me just say this loudly and clearly as I know how, brothers and sisters, we obey God when we're confronted with men. We obey God first. And if any law or anything contradicts what we believe that the Scriptures teach, then we say yes to Jesus. You ready? And so he signs his own death warrant. He knows he's going to the lion's den. And let me just tell you, I believe from the palace you could hear those lions from a country mile away. Y'all know what a country mile is? Some of y'all had never even been out in the country. Anyways, and so there is the courage, the conviction that he disclosed. And then look at this is amazing. Look at the courage that he demonstrates. Verse 11. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. And they went before the king and spoke concerning the king's decree. Have you not signed a decree that every man who petitions any god or man within 30 days except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? And the king answered and said, that is true, according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which does not alter. So they answered and said unto before the king, na-na-na-na-na, that Daniel, your prized pupil. I'm reading between, you know. That Daniel, who's one of the captives from Judah, does not show due regard for you, O king, or for the decree that you've signed, but makes his petition three times a day. And the king, when he heard these words, was greatly displeased with himself and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men approached the king and said to the king, know, O king, that it is the law of the Medes and the Persians that no decree or statute which the king establishes may be changed. So the king gave the command, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. But the king spoke, saying to Daniel, your God whom you serve continually, he will deliver you. Then a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den and the ring, and with the signets of his lords, that the purpose concerning Daniel might not be changed. Well, Daniel's detractors run to the king. They tell the king, it's law. Anybody who does not bow down and pray to you and worship you, O king, it's off to the lion's den they go. And your prized pupil, he has broken the law. What are you going to do about it? And right then the king knew. His heart was cut to the quick. He realized that they had used his pride against him. By the way, pride goeth before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. And so he says, oh, I've blown it. I've messed up the best thing I've ever been given. And so what he does is he goes to, probably hires some of the kingdom's high-priced attorneys, and they start going through the law with a fine-tooth comb looking for any loophole that they can get Daniel out of. But it was all said and done. Nothing could be changed. The law couldn't be altered. And Daniel's on his way down to the lion's den. Picture this in your mind. The king is following Daniel down to the lion's den. He's, oh, Daniel, I'm so sorry. I messed up. It's their fault. They did this against me. I shouldn't have done this. Oh, please forgive me. We can't get you out of this, but maybe your God will deliver you. And he's just blah, 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 blah. And then don't you know that Daniel's detractors, his party is, guess what they're doing? Pop, pop, fizz, fizz. Oh, yeah, they're having a party. Because they're done with Daniel. He's going to do that. And you could have heard those lions roaring. I mean, and so they begin to lower Daniel down into that pit. Oh, bless God. I wished I'd have been a fly on the wall that day. You know what? You don't hear anything coming from Daniel's mouth. Do you know why? He'd already done his talking. He'd been talking to the King of Kings. And so he didn't go limping into that lion's den with fear. He went leaping into that lion's den with faith. I believe Daniel believed in Proverbs 3, 25 and 26. Be not afraid of sudden terror nor of trouble from the wicked when it comes, for the Lord will be your confidence and keep your foot from being caught. Somebody shout amen. Amen. And then I believe he maybe he believed in Psalm, I believe it's 34, 7. The angel of the Lord encamps around those that fear him and delivers them. Woo! And so they lower Daniel down in the midst of these lions. And he goes down into that lion's den with faith. He's filled with courage. And then look at the confidence that he's got, the confidence that he declared. Now, let's read the scriptures. Look at verse 18. Now the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting, and no musicians were brought before him. Also his sleep went from him. He knows he's done wrong. Can't get any sleep at all. He's fasting. He can't eat. And you've already told me what the other crowd's doing. They're up partying. Can I just go ahead and let you in on the secret? The only one that got a good night's rest in the kingdom that night was Daniel. Verse 19, then the king rose very early in the morning and went in haste to the den of lions. I guess he did. And when he came to the den and cried out with a lamenting voice to Daniel, the king spoke, saying to Daniel, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God whom you serve continually been able to deliver you from the lions? Then Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths so that they have not hurt me because I was found innocent before him. And also, O king, I've done no wrong before you. Now the king was exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den and no injury. He didn't even have a scratch on him. Whatever was found on him because he believed in his God. Do you know what the name Daniel means? My God is judge. You see, Daniel had a rock rib conviction. He believed with all of his heart that he would rather die in the lion's den with God than to live outside of the lion's den without God. God was his source, his safety, his security, his strength. God was his everything. And God had never denied Daniel. Therefore, Daniel would never deny his God. Whew. Can't you see the king? When we get to... I would have loved to have heard the king on Good Morning America, wouldn't you? And so the king gets up early and he runs down to the lion's den and they roll that stone off the lion's den and he looks down and he says, Daniel, has your God saved you? And there's Daniel reading between the lines. Some of y'all will get that when you get home. Have mercy, what a crowd. And Daniel looks up and says, I'm here, king. I'm alive and I'm not lying. God shut the mouths of those lions. Now, I want to say this to everybody in here. You listen up. Listen to this. You don't have to go looking for a lion's den, but you don't have to run from one either. And you, like Daniel, rather than limping into that lion's den with fear, can go leaping into that lion's den with faith. Because the same God who was Daniel's God is your God. And Daniel was elevated and promoted. Listen, watch this, 24. And the king gave the command, and they brought those men who had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions. Anyone, if you were accused of a crime and you were found innocent, the accusers had to suffer the same punishment. Woo! Cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, their wives, and the lions overpowered them and broke all their bones in pieces before they ever came to the bottom of the den. Now listen now, King Darius has got it now. He's had a divine revelation. Listen to what he says to all the peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in the earth. Peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men must tremble in fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and steadfast forever. His kingdom is the one which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall endure to the end. He delivers and rescues. He works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth, who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So much for the separation between church and state. Hallelujah. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Glory to God. Daniel had learned how to sleep with the lions without being eaten. I don't know who to give credit to. I don't know who wrote this. But Daniel could have written it. And I want to do my best to quote it to you this morning. It's called The Fellowship of the Unashamed. And it says something like this: I'm a part of the fellowship of the unashamed. I have the Holy Spirit power. The die has been cast. I have stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. I will not let up, back up, slow down, or be still. My past is redeemed. My present makes sense. My future is secure. I am finished and done with low living, sight walking, smooth knees, colorless dreams, mundane visions, and chintzy giving. I don't have to be right, first, tops, recognized, regarded, or rewarded. I no longer need preeminence, popularity, prosperity, plaudits, or praise. I now lift by prayer. I labor by power. I love by patience. And I lean by faith. My pace is set. My gate is fast. My goal is heaven. My companions are few. My guide is reliable. And my mission is clear. I can't be bought, compromised, detoured, diluted, or delayed. I won't flinch in the face of sacrifice, hesitate in the presence of adversity. I won't negotiate at the table of the enemy. I won't ponder at the pool of popularity, and I won't meander in the maze of mediocrity. I won't let up, back up, slow up, or shut up until I'm preached up, prayed up, stored up, and stayed up for the cause of Jesus Christ. I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ, and I must go until heaven returns, give until I drop, preach until all men know, and when He comes, He'll have no problems recognizing me. My colors will be clear. That's what we need. In the church of the living God today, that's what we need. None of this wimpy, half in, half out, wishy-washy. We need some Daniels. And I'll guarantee you two things this morning. This is a double dog guarantee from your pastor. If you'll sell out to this creed and claim it as your own, I'll guarantee you two things. Whenever and wherever there's a lion's den, you can walk in it by faith, and you'll be able to sleep with the lions without being eaten. Let's pray together. I want to pray for you in just a minute. But before I pray for you, I know that God's doing something in this room today. He's tugging on heartstrings. He's pulling on your emotions and your passion, your commitment. He's wooing you. It's God. That's Holy Spirit. It's not me. And your response is going to determine what's going to happen in the coming days of your life. If you want to hear "well done, good and faithful servant" someday, what you're doing right now determines what you're going to hear later. And you're here and you know you need to sell out to the Lord. No more half-heartedness. No more lukewarmness. No more this, no more that, but all in. All in. And maybe you're here and you don't know if you're a disciple. Oh, bless God, you're in the right place. All you've got to do is come forward. We'll give you counsel. We'll share scripture with you, and we'll put some stuff in your hands to get you started right. And you need to come forward as we sing. But I think the vast majority of you are here, and you're church members. You claim the name of Christ, and it's time to get in the game, to be all in, to be who God created you to be so that He gets the glory. Father, I pray You'd forgive me of anything that I said that I shouldn't have said, and You'd forgive me from anything I didn't say that I should have said, but You're bigger than the message and the messenger. You're able to speak. And I know You're speaking to people all over this building today that need to surrender wholeheartedly to Christ as Lord of their lives. And I pray for those that need to be saved, that need to become a believer, that need Christ, that have never been changed by the power of Almighty God. Oh God, as we sang about earlier, you are able to save. Thank you for leaving heaven and coming to earth so we could have a relationship with Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.